Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another installment of Girl Dad Girls. I'm one of your hosts, Brianna St. Marie. We have that QT Danny B. We have Michaela Garcia
Hola.
and Maddie Lynn Jacobs. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Yay, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell us about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do? All that awesome stuff behind you?
So that's all my Star Wars stuff. I'm a big nerd. Grew up on it. I'm an old
What's going
person, so I
on?
grew up on the original series in the theaters, you know.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I'm a big nerd, so I collect all these usually for Christmas. My kids and wife get me some toys, so I hope that never goes
That's
away.
cool.
But yeah, my
That's
entire I would
awesome.
show you the rest of the room, but it's a lot crazier than that. It might be a little embarrassing. But
Crazier
let's
than
do
that?
it. An MTV Cribs episode.
Yeah, exactly. But
Wow.
yeah, I'm from I live in California, live in just outside LA. Grew up in Idaho, so I was a real hick. Worked on farms. I've done a whole bunch of stuff. But now I'm a director of software engineering for an entertainment company.
Yeah. Whoop.
So yeah,
A bunch of nerds.
bunch of nerds. That's right. I love being
A bunch of nerd stuff.
Yeah, so we
That
can
was
talk
such a
about
good
coding.
introduction about yourself. I'm so bad at talking about myself. I was literally like, I have brown hair, brown eyes, I'm 5'8". I didn't know what to say.
I'm a person. I live on this planet.
Matters, right?
Well, have you heard that, like, I've heard that there are four or five professions that every trans, like 90% of the trans girls fall into, which is like engineer. What are the other one? It's like
Cab
engineering's,
driver.
yeah, like ex-military apparently
Flight
was a big one
military.
too.
Oh,
And yeah, there's like four main ones, but I feel like engineering is like a really
there
big
is.
one, because there's like everybody that I know is like, oh yeah, so it was just software for 10 years and decided that I was trans. Like, those things are not related, but kind
I know a lot of
of.
people that are in the entertainment industry too, writers, producers, and whatnot. So I used to do that too, so I guess I fall in both categories. So
Yeah. So
perfect.
how long have you been transitioning?
About 3 years ago, I came out February 2021. So
Oh,
I told my
wow.
wife in January and started hormones a month later. So
That's
yeah, it's
awesome.
been
Nice.
amazing.
What's
Was there any
amazing is
like
that y'all are still
catalyst that
together. That's just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole story. Like we broke up. I moved out. And so we're together. We're living together. So we have a house. I have like an apartment over here, and then she's got the rest of the house with the kids. So we have our separate living spaces, but we're still married and don't plan on getting divorced. We're not romantic anymore,
Wow.
but we're certainly best friends, and that's probably the way it's going to stay. So it was
Yeah.
really rocky there for a bit, though, and we had to like really get at it with each other and just be brutally honest for a long time. And eventually, we're like, oh, I guess we're good. Like, yeah, I guess we're good. So here we are. The problem is we
I
both
think
like men,
cool.
so it's not gonna
I think it's so
work.
cool that you got to keep your friendship with her. That was my like ultimate goal with my ex-wife. I wanted to remain friends because she was my best friend for 15, 16 years. But I don't know, once I got bigger boobs than her, she really started to hate me.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I waited so long,
Something
because
happens when that goes in play.
right? Yeah, when I first came out, we started going out, and she was like, well, I'm not gonna be the butch one, so I get all dressed up. She's like, oh, now I have to get dressed up. I don't like this. So, but
Yeah, that's so interesting that you were able to like, yeah, to keep the friendship going too, though. I know with me personally, like I came out and she immediately was like, there's no way I'm gonna be attracted to a woman. It's like, yeah, but I'm still like a pretty manly woman, obviously, as anybody who knows me can attest.
I kind of went through
But
that same thing. I was like, I still have my penis. That's at least,
yeah,
me at least
that'll work.
23% male for you. That makes me manly by itself, right?
Right. Yeah. Was there
Yeah.
anything that like any catalyst that back when you came out, was there anything that caused you to push you over that line? Because I know for a lot of us, there's like it's a lot of there's a lot of voices in the back of our head saying to do it, but like we all need that one little straw to come out.
Yeah, I mean, it was a culmination of things. I've felt this way, you know, probably since I was six or so. I had a friend back then who said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a woman. I'm like, that's what I want to do too. And it was like the first like realization, like, yeah, that's it. And I went home and told my parents, and they're like, well, boys are boys and girls are girls, and that's just the way it is. Like, okay, well, I guess that's over. But so I just kind of committed to
show that you
life. Right. And I'm like I said, I'm a little older. So back in the, 80s, and I guess that was late 70s, there wasn't really any, conversation about that. It was just like, oh, those are weird people. And so, everything was like MASH, yeah. And the clinger and you were a joke. And I'm like, I'm not gonna be a joke. So now I realized later that that's not a joke and you're very normal and all that, but it took me a while. But what really happened was I downloaded that stupid face app and I saw myself for the first time and like, holy shit, I gotta do that. Oh, am I allowed to swear? Anyways, I saw myself and I'm like, oh, fuck, like I have to do this now. And it took me 2 more years, but it was every birthday I just got really depressed because like another year gone and I'm getting older and I started seeing that older dude in the mirror and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. And that was kind of the last step. I was going to turn 46 and like, I got to do it. And, I hope everybody accepts it, but I just don't care anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. And so I did it and dropped the bomb. And really, it wasn't all that much of a bomb. Like my wife and I tried to make it work for about 6 to 8 months, realizing it's not going to work romantically. And there was resentment and all that kind of stuff. But everyone that I came out to was just really cool and very supportive, except for like a couple people. And I'm like, oh, well, I was supposed to lose everything. What's going on here? I was supposed to lose my job and my family, but it didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And I know I'm very blessed in that way. I'm very lucky because that's not usually the story. And, but yeah, I'm just freaking happy as hell now. So,
Well, how are birthdays now? I know for me, like go ahead.
I hate my birthday still because I'm getting old and like I'm gonna be 50 in another year and like 50 years old. And I have goals and I wanna like get super buff and fighting age and the whole thing, but it's no longer like feeling like I'm wasting my life anymore. It's more like I just really have to make things count now. So it's like it's a shift now where I usually don't go out on my birthday. My friend Dana, I don't know if you guys know Dana. She's my best friend, but she's also on Instagram. Anyways, she's gonna take me out. So I usually just go out with like one person and like just go to have a drink, but I don't like to celebrate it. I'm weird that way. I'm kind of an introvert, honestly. I really love my alone time, and I just that's why Instagram is kind of an outlet for me because I can like explode all my nonsense and kind of leave it there, and then I can go do my own thing. So
I love it.
So you came out when you were 45?
46, yeah. Right after my 46th birthday.
And you've been transitioning for, you said, how long? 3 years?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years in January. So
my goodness, you look fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, you really do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You don't look it at all.
I thought you were like 24.
Oh my God, you're my new favorite person.
So your name is Maddie.
Maddie.
I wanted to ask you how you came up with that name and if it's short for anything.
I mean, it was actually really easy. So my previous name was Matt, and I had a lot of friends who already called me Maddie, like M-A-T-T-Y. And then I'm like, when they call me that, I felt like you're calling me like a girl's name. And I'm like, I kind of like that. So yeah, keep calling me Maddie. That's great. Mm-hmm. And so when I came out, I'm like, I played with a bunch of different names, Madison and a bunch of other stuff. But I'm just like, I want to bring some of my old self into my new self because I really believe in that connection with it, I guess. And so I'm like, well, it's Maddie with M-A-D-I. And a lot of friends that already call me that, nothing to change for you, but that's kind of how I came up with it. And it just really fit with me. And so, and then I changed my middle name to the same middle name as my mom and my sister. So
That's awesome.
Nice. And what's your middle name and your social security number?
Social?
And a list of your fears.
The after party.
And what are the answers to your most common security questions?
Oh. I forgot.
That's I'm so glad. It seems like it's really kind of like it's really all coming together. I know for me especially, like it, a lot of it fell apart right away. Oh. Did you? It sounded like at the beginning you kind of were trying to figure out what you wanted to do in terms of like your relationship and everything. Had you thought about like, did you? I guess did you ever get to the point where you're like, I need to stop doing this and like consider going back into the closet for the sake of your family and stuff?
Yes, twice.
How did you talk yourself out of that?
My wife talked me out of it.
She talked you out of
it? Yeah. She's like,
wow.
No shit. She's
like, why are you doing it? Because I started dressing in, you know, in my old clothes, and because I still saved a few. So I started doing that. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I'm worried about the kids and I don't want to lose you. And then I started spiraling. I stopped taking hormones and the whole thing. And she's like, you can't, like, this is you, Maddie. This is you. I know that it's you. I haven't seen you this happy in our entire relationship. So, like, you owe it to yourself to see this through. And I'm like, okay, I guess you're right. I know you're right, but it's scary, you know? It's hard. Really hard.
That's amazing support. That's awesome.
When I came out, like, speaking of support, like, she took me and like helped me with my makeup, took me shopping, did the whole thing, and just kind of really showed me, you know, the moves, right? And she's like, when I'm walking, she's like, you're walking like a dude, you're walking like a dude, like, do this. And so, like, and I really took that criticism from her, not in a, like, you're putting me down, more like she really is trying to build me up. And it was, after that, it was just, you know, I cried so many times in front of the mirror just doing my makeup. And she's like, all right, let's do it again. And she sat down next to me and did it again. Like, she's a phenomenal woman. Like, she's like my soulmate. And I keep teasing her, like, if you only had a penis, like, this would work out great. And she's like, yeah, you too. Like, but I do. And like, you're not keeping it, though. So, all right, Pam.
One of the other things that I was surprised by was the people that I was expecting to have a really negative reaction. Like, I have friends here in Central Virginia who I was expecting were gonna drop me.
Yeah.
And, or like have a really bad reaction. Did you have anybody that you went into it thinking you were going to lose them as a friend? I thought I heard you say something about you were worried that you were gonna like lose your job and everything. What were like some of your bad reactions that turned out a lot better than you were expecting?
Well, everybody thought I was going to lose. So like going into it, I'm like, all right, after when I'm coming out, like I'm expecting this to go bad. And just that's how my head works. I always expect the worst, and maybe it's a defense mechanism. I don't know.
I think probably just an engineering thing. Yeah. It's like, if we expect the worst, we're at least satisfied. If it goes better than we were expecting, pleasantly surprised. Right.
But everybody was just really amazing, except, and even the people that said, oh, it's fine, like those are the ones that I like. There's two that then distanced themselves, and one was like my best friend for I don't know how long, and he distanced himself. He's like, I just can't ever see you or accept you as this. I'm like, all right, I get it, I still love you, but you know, hopefully we'll come together again one day. But everybody else was just like, cool, whatever, you know. Even my job, which I was really worried about, it was a little weird. It was mostly because I'd worked with these people for 10, 15 years. So they had a really hard time seeing me as myself and, you know, the misgendering and, you know, say my old name and stuff. It took a while for them to get there, but they eventually did. And then I just realized, you know, I have to like go out on my own and, you know, interview and get a new job where people just didn't know me. So I don't have that like shadow hanging around. Not that it really bothered me, but I wanted people to just see me as me now and not like have that history. Like they couldn't let that history go, and it was affecting them more than it was affecting me. So
that's kind of life in the small town. Is every like everybody here is everybody knew David,
right?
So Obviously, I'm having a hard time letting it go anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, I love my old self. I'm very proud of everything that I did. You know, I raised a family. Yeah. I got a job. I won an Emmy. Like, there's lots of things that I'm just like, I lived a great life. And I shouldn't, like, as much as, like, I suffered during that time, I had a lot of great times. So I can't put that person down. And, like, I like I said, I have a different relationship that I know a lot of trans women do. So I love seeing.
I am loving your whole outlook on life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Remind me of
Can
somebody
we roll
else.
Back yeah. to the Emmy thing?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
No, it's just. No, it's just
oh, that's real? I thought that was one of those Universal Studios.
In all this other time.
Emmy.
Wow. Yeah,
cool. Got my old name on it, but there it is. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. I wanted wow. Upper development of all things. I, you know, wait, I was a TV wait. Producer for a long time and I never got anything. And then when I left the industry to go into software, I built some software for the NFL and they used it to launch this new platform. And they wrote a story on about JFK and football. And I'm not into football at all, by the way. That's why it's so funny. But they won an Emmy, and since I built the software that they wrote the story on, I got the Emmy as well. So it's like a.
What the hell am I doing with my life? I'm like, I've been in software for fucking like 20 years, and I've never won an Emmy.
Why do you know the?
I didn't even know I could win an Emmy.
I didn't either. It was like a total surprise because I hated the project. It was the worst freaking project. But then at the end of it, they're like, "Yeah, you won an Emmy." I'm like, "What? Really?" So as soon as I got that, I sent it to like the my old executive producers. I'm like, hey, look, I finally got it. No thanks to you. Anyway.
So when you put in for like a new job, do you put that in your?
Of course I do. Yeah.
Oh my God, I absolutely yeah.
When I was freelancing, I would say Emmy award winning software producer, which doesn't make any sense at all. But like now I can rack my rates up, you know.
That's so great.
That's awesome.
How did you make this? Oh, Mika, go ahead.
Me? I have a question.
Do you have a question? Oh,
I do, but I wasn't the one talking. Maddie, in our pre-interview, I asked you a little bit about your kids, mm-hmm. and the podcast is called Girl Dads. Yeah. So I wanted to know how they took your coming out, especially since they're a little bit older than.
Yeah, it was. Like, I was so scared, obviously, but my son. When I came out, my wife started getting a bunch of books because that's how she is. She researches the hell out of everything. So she was reading a book with a boy body in pink on the front page and a girl body in blue. And my son said, why are they like that? And my wife said, well, sometimes boys feel like girls and girls feel like boys, just trying to like figure out how to tell, you know, he was what, 7 at the time. And I haven't told him yet. And he said, oh, is that like daddy? And my wife's like, wow, yeah, it is like daddy. And then that's when I'm like, had to come out like, hey, buddy, this is how it is. And he said, I don't care, you know, boy or girl, I love you anyways. You're my dad. You always be my dad. And I'm just like, oh, awesome. My God. And he and I are still like, he's my like twin, which was also really hard because the worst part about me transitioning was he was sad that I lost my mustache, which looked like total hell on me, but he loved that I had a mustache. And I'm like, so that was the hardest thing for him to get over was that we don't look alike anymore. And you know, that piece took a little bit for him to figure out, but we're still as close as we ever are. And it's still amazing. And my daughter pretty much said, whatever, I don't care. You know, she said, I like you much better this way. Because I, you know, I was so absent, you know, I spent most of my time playing video games or staying up all hours in the night or working. And I was never with them. And so once after I came out, I was like, I don't have to lock myself in my room anymore. I can actually be present. And they're like, we love you so much now. Like, you're so much happier, you're actually here with us, and like we just missed that. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm gonna start crying.
No, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, they still call me dad. I tried to get my son to like call me Maddie, because it was when I first came out and I was with him and going out in public, you know, and he's like, hey, Dad, screaming from the side, you know, the other side of the store or whatever. I'm like, ooh. And then I'm like, you know what? Who friggin' cares? You know, I'm always going to be his dad. Why should I like deny him telling, you know, saying that to me? Like, if you want to call me something else one day, great, do it. But otherwise, I'm your dad. Always be your dad. And you can call me that. And
yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So that's a subject me and my friend Dana talk about a lot, because she doesn't have that same thing with it. And I know we all feel differently, but it's more about like the public and how they look at you when you're all, you know, dressed up nice and someone's calling you dad. It's like you immediately see them go, what? And sometimes that's hard to deal with, but I've gotten to the point where I really don't care what other people think. And I don't know how I got there, but as soon as I got there, I'm like, wow, that's so freeing. Like, you can say anything to me and I don't give a fuck. Like, wow, what power I've just taken for myself, you know? And again, I wish I knew how I did it, but I think a lot of it had to do with my wife. She got me a book that says How to Not Give a Fuck. And I read that and I'm like, that helps. So she's the queen of not giving a fuck, and I admire her for it.
How did I not know?
One
it was
thing
so easy
that I did.
Right. Yeah. Just don't give a fuck.
One thing that that we did talk about also at the before the episode that I do want to highlight, and I feel like this may have a contributing factor, is you are friggin' ripped. I mean, I thought I was strong, but oh my
god. Oh my goodness. Temperature goes up.
But yeah, so one of the things that I've kind of realized about like my situation especially is like a lot of the girls that I know around the area that I'm in get picked on when they're small and petite. Mm-hmm. Because people feel like they see a trans woman and they're like, okay, I can make fun of that trans woman, versus like when they see me, they're like, that I can make fun of that trans woman, but I'm gonna get my face bashed in. Do you ever think that like get that kind of like feeling, or do you think most people are just kind of like just leave you alone because you're in, I mean, California is pretty open.
It's pretty open. You know, I go up to Idaho though and visit my parents, and that's like Redneckville, you know. But honestly, so I've always admired the strong women, like, you know, Linda Hamilton and Terminator and Ripley and the American Gladiators. Like, those are the women that I looked up to. And like, that's what I never wanted to be, a buff dude. But as soon as I transition, I'm like, all right, time to get the muscles snap. So like, this is all over the past 3 years of just like starting to build.
Really?
And it was part of it was that, you know what, if I'm a tough woman, then those assholes are going to think twice about, you know, saying some shit to me. And I could probably beat him up. So, like, it gave me that confidence that I didn't have before, like, and probably helped with my don't give a fuck attitude. It's like, say what you want to me, dude. I'll kick your ass, you know, if I have to.
Yeah.
But it lost the worry of how people are going to react to me in public, because, like, I can defend myself now, or I just am a little, hey, look at that. See, you look good.
Oh, yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah,
but yeah, it definitely helped for sure.
Yeah, I think walking around, especially without sleeves on, I think people can kind of, they see that I have my anger issues right there, and there's like, you know what, I don't need that five-fingered facial reconstruction right now.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I'm not a fighter. I'm a total hippie lover, but I like to portray that anyways, that I'm a tough chick.
Yeah, that's awesome. How did you?
I'm actually
software?
Really glad you brought up Linda Hamilton. That
was
amazing. That was somebody from my childhood. I watched Terminator and I was like, can I be like her? Like, holy.
Right?
God. She's doing pull ups on her bed that she flipped up sideways.
Right? Me too. I know exactly.
It was that one scene that did it for me. It was just done.
Yep.
That's awesome. But yeah, so you went from TV to software. How did you make that shift?
So I was, I went to film school, in Montana of all places. But, when I came down here, I came down here to be a, like, a big time director, because in Montana, I got sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon to do snowboard and ski movies for them. So at the time, I thought it was like big time. I mean, they were just pretty much paying me in beer, but you know, it was great for college. But you know, I was like, oh, I made it. Now I can go make it in LA as a director. Let's do this. And I got down and I got rejected over and over again. And eventually I got hired on. I'm sure you've seen the show Blind Date. It's a reality TV show about, they put people on dates and they have thought bubbles going above their head. It's kind of like a making fun of everybody show. And I worked on that. And then I did another reality show and I just got stuck in that reality show of like, I just felt these shows were like taking advantage of people. And I felt my soul being sucked out. And I worked my way up to be a producer on those. And I was a development producer, so I'd come up with new reality shows then and pitch them to studios and all that. And when we had this pilot, the executive producer, who I was an assistant for, he promoted me to a real producer. And during one of the shows, he said something like, he asked me to go get him a burrito or something. I'm like, okay, I'll go get your burrito, even though we have PAs to do that now. Like, I shouldn't be doing this, but whatever, I'm a team player. And so then I brought it back to him and he looked at it and he's like, this is the wrong burrito. I'm like, that's what you ordered. And he's like, I need you to go back right now and get it to me. And I looked at it and I looked at him and I threw the friggin' burrito against the wall and I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. Bye. And that was it. Wow. And I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, cause I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is not fulfilling my soul at all. And I've always been a computer dork. I started with computers when I was like 8, learning BASIC on a, like a really shitty trash 80, you know? Wow. There was no Google at the time to learn how to use computers. Yeah. I had to do it, which is kind of cool. And I'm like, you know what? I always love computers. Let me see if I can make a go at that. And so I taught myself to code Flash at the time. And
oh, ActionScript?
Yeah, ActionScript. Yeah. And, like, wow, this is great. And then I developed this piece of software for comic book people to publish their comics online back before there was web comics or any of that kind of stuff. And I sold it. And I'm like, I guess this is what I'm doing. So they bought my software, hired me on to be, the CEO of that. And paid me a shitload of stock that then the company went bankrupt about a year or two later. Now the stock's worth nothing. But for a moment, I was a millionaire, you know? But that's kind of what got me started. Like everything I've ever done was always, it feels like it's out of luck or like I had a big event happen to me and like, oh, I guess I'm doing this now. So I just kind of go with my gut on it and that's where it led me.
I've built so many freaking projects that no one gives a crap about. And damn it.
Me too. Oh. I've built a lot. I mean, before I came out, that was my life. I would spend my entire time in my office just coding until 3 in the morning until I was so tired I couldn't even do anything. That was the only way I could get to sleep, because if I, you know, laid there in bed, I just kept thinking about, you know, everything else, her and the whole life that I wanted to live. And I wouldn't be able to sleep. So I just exhausted myself and I was not healthy, but anyways, I don't know where we're going.
Yeah. It's wow. Yeah. It's so strange how like we all kind of have these like very self, defeating kind of things that we do. I know with me, like I spiraled down to drinking pretty heavily. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I would also, you know, mire myself in projects. Like I had all these projects. If anyone who goes on my personal site can see all the projects that I like crammed through because I just needed something to occupy the 10, 15 people that live in my head.
Totally.
But
oh, that's all you have? Like, nice. I'm jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. I've dwindled them down. Yeah, I drank some of them to death. So
for me, it was pot. I was a huge stoner, 24/7, wake and bake, stoned all the time. And wow. I'm not like that anymore. I still partake, but I got it under control. So.
That's awesome. How did your family, like your extended family? Do you have brothers and sisters? And if so, how do they take everything?
Yeah, that was. I mean. My dad passed away, and that was part of a catalyst for me as well, actually, because he had Alzheimer's. He was living with us down here, and so my mom came and took him away. And after that, I'm like, oh, I can finally come out now, because I didn't have to worry about him. I was, because he and I were just really tight, really good. And he was like a manly man, a cowboy, old school. And I was just, I felt like I'd be disappointing him. And now I wish I would have told him to see all this. Cause I think, I know he would have loved me anyways. He's just, but I was nervous about it. But my mom and sister, I have a sister who's older. She's a vet in Idaho. They're all rednecks, you know. I love them, but they're all definitely hicks and whatnot. But they surprised me, honestly. They have a hard time calling me Maddie. They always call me Matt, and they still struggle with the he/she stuff. And last time I went up there, they're like, "We're so sorry, we're doing this, we're trying." I'm like, honestly, that's all I can ask, For me, I don't care what you guys call me. I love you, and I know you're trying. As long as you're trying, that's all I can ask. And it doesn't hurt my feelings that you have known me my entire life like this, and now it's taking you some time to get there. As long as you're trying to get there, then that's great. But my sister was always like a total tomboy, and like I probably wear more makeup than she does, and way more girly than she is. And she just couldn't understand why I would want to do those things. Not that, that's my brother who's now my sister is like, why do you want to wear makeup? Like, I don't wear makeup. Why do you want boobs? I hate my boobs. And like,
isn't that kind of the whole thing is like people who don't get it, don't get
right.
It. It's, I have so many people, so many friends are like, yeah, but you had such a great life as David. And it's like, yeah, but like, you don't understand the pain that comes with, like, everybody thinks this is some kind of damn choice. And it's like, oh yeah, why did you choose to do? And it's like, I didn't, I swear to God, I didn't. I wouldn't choose this.
That's the thing. Who would choose this? Like, I love my life. I love who I am. I'm proud of who I am, but I certainly wouldn't want to go through this. Like, I tried everything to not go through it. It's not a choice. Yeah. It's not a choice at all.
Anybody who's gotten to watch me suffer through whatever's going on here, it's like, I would not have chosen to do this.
I often tell my wife, because after electrolysis, because I'm prepping here and there, like, it's hours of torture. I'm like, anyone that says that this is a choice, just go do that for an hour and you tell me if this is a choice or not, because you would not do this, like, just to, like, get into a bathroom or whatever the fuck you think this is all about. Like, that's not true. And we put ourselves through so much torture just to be ourselves. And if someone can't see, like, this is real, then sorry.
So speaking of all that, that leads me into another question I had for you. So Danny, did any part of womanhood surprise you after, or Maddie, sorry, it surprised you after coming out as Maddie?
Part of womanhood?
Like something you weren't expecting that you're like, oh.
You know what?
I wasn't so sure about this part.
Yeah, no, like, I got harassed by dudes. I got mansplained by dudes. I was kind of expecting all that. What I didn't expect was feeling so comfortable without makeup and just wearing my blue jeans and hat and just pretty much dressing like I used to dress. I used to think that when I first came out, like, I had to be uber feminine in order for people to accept me. And like, well, that's how girls are supposed to look. I kept spinning that yarn in my head. Like, this is how it's supposed to go. And realizing that that's all bullshit and you can just do whatever the hell you want. That's what surprised me the most. And I feel just so comfortable. Like, I'm wearing a little makeup now, but I don't really wear makeup at all. And I realize that being a woman has nothing to do with any of that. And that's what surprised me. It's not about presentation, though it is a little bit, but I mean, it is, but it's more than that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's just,
you are so cool. Can we be friends?
Yes. do you live in California too?
I do. I live near Anaheim.
Oh shit. We're close. We gotta hang out one time. Okay. All right. Anyway, yeah, that's awesome. But I love that. And I wish more people could see that it doesn't it doesn't matter. And honestly, yeah. It didn't matter as a man either. It's just the society, you know, puts more pressure on that. But if I could have just been a cis woman, I would probably have just been a tomboy and exactly like I am now. Like, I like this. And I think people need to realize that it's it's not just that and this. It's anything you want. And people have a hard time understanding that. And, yeah. You know, I'm not going to grow beard anymore, but you could.
Bree, did you have a question? Is that the way they had
for? Yeah, sorry. Apparently I'm running behind, so I have to like raise my hand now. It's something you said earlier about women being able to wear whatever the hell they want. That just struck a bell in my head. I used to say that all the time, especially to my ex-wife. I was like, you guys get to wear whatever the fuck you want, and no one questions it. It's like, if we wear whatever the fuck we want as men, it's like, okay, you get to go through the ringer and you're fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, y'all get to wear a burlap sack and call it couture. Like, okay.
Whatever. Yeah, it's, I don't know why it's like that. Like, if you're not a manly man, you're not a man. And, you know, I wasn't the man. But, you know, there are guys that are just a little more feminine. Doesn't mean that they're a trans woman. They're just a little more feminine. And they get made so much. Especially when I was growing up there in Idaho, like any sign of femininity in a man, you got beaten up. And that's what I
am in Virginia. Yeah.
And that's probably why I went in the closet so hard. And I denied myself any kind of satisfaction of my true self because I knew that I just would get beat up or something would happen. So I shoved it so far down. I wouldn't do anything. I didn't dress up. I didn't do anything until like I was like 43. So I was so scared of someone finding out because of how I grew up, you know? And it's just stupid. It's freaking stupid. Well,
was there anything that you did, like, I know for me personally, like I started working out a whole bunch because I told myself if I could work out and I would appreciate my body more as a guy, but the more I worked out, the less I liked myself. Was there anything that you did as sort of like a metaphorical beard to kind of like cover over and sort of make yourself seem like you were enjoying the body that you were in?
Yeah. I mean, I tried the facial hair. Like I said, my son loved my mustache, but I looked like a high school kid, you know, that had just trying to do a mustache. It was so bad. And the beard, like it was patchy, but I'm like, I'm looking pretty doodly now. I'm looking great. And I was not, but it certainly helped. It was like my last ditch effort, but I would do all kinds of stuff. You know, I'd go hunting, even though I don't like hunting and killing things. You know, I did that to kind of prove that I was a man. And I hated every freaking moment of it, but I wasn't gonna let anybody know that. And that was like a family tradition in my family to go hunting and be with the dudes. And I would come back from those trips and my wife would be like, wow, you seem like, more manly right now. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling real manly. Let's do it. You know, but it lasted a day or two. I'm like, that sucked. I don't want to do that again. And after I came out, I told my family, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Like, I don't know why I did it for so long, but yeah, I did a lot of that type of stuff. Mostly I was just stoned all the time and kind of not there, honestly. So
yeah,
wearing the same clothes every day, you know, baggy shirt, baggy pants, whatever's on the floor is what I'll take. I just did not care. And I'll be honest, I do that now, but it's different now because I look cuter now. So
these jeans only have 2 days on them. They're fine.
That's fine. Once you hit a few months is where you really need to start questioning it.
Yeah, so, right. They're Maddie, being a little stiff right now, so maybe wash them.
Maddie, clearly you're a huge Star Wars fan. Yeah. Have you been to Star Wars Land at Disneyland? Wait, can we say Disneyland on a podcast? Do we have to say, like, Mouse Land?
Uh-oh, I gotta mark it. Mark it. I'm kidding.
I have. I just went. I took my family a month or two ago. I hadn't been to Disneyland since. So, yeah, I got to fly the Millennium Falcon and do the light speed thing. And I was totally playing the part in there. And everybody was just looking at me like I was a little crazy. But, yes, I loved it. It was so cool.
Have you ladies been to Star Wars Land?
No.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, you could drive, like she said, the Millennium Falcon. Like, there's two pilots in the front. There's two engineers, right? Uh-huh. And then there's two gunners,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
I went back and did every position. So I like all the positions.
Ooh.
Story of my life.
I knew someone would pick that one up. But yes, it was
cool. We should go deep on some of those positions.
But I wrote a Star Wars comic book back for Dark Horse. I got to come up with my own Jedi and do this whole thing. It was really cool. So, like, Star Wars is so close to my heart. And it was my escape growing up. You know, I lived in Idaho, so I you know, it snowed. And every winter I'd go out and be able to play, you know, Luke and Hoth and reaching out for Obi-Wan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm such a nerd.
But absolutely. It
was my escape. Like, that's where I lived
for
a long time, is Star Wars. And
were you able to build a lightsaber or a droid at Disneyland?
I did.
Yeah, what color?
I think it's here. Here's my lightsaber.
Oh my god. Oh,
yeah. Big, right?
Californians, it's big. Damn it.
It's a big saber.
You Californians do such cool things.
What color lightsaber did you pick?
What's that?
What color did you pick for the lightsaber?
Oh, I have to go blue for Luke. I had a huge crush on Luke. He was anyway.
Do you have that comic that you did? Is there a link to it, to a digital copy?
It's out of print because after Disney bought it, Lucasfilm, they pretty much shot all that canon down. I do have a Wikipedia page. The comic's called the Order of Outcasts for Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures. So I do have a Wikipedia page, which is kind of cool.
Awesome.
It's my old name, but like, I don't care.
God, you are like the coolest person ever. Oh my god.
I've done a lot of weird things.
Who do you think you relate to the most in the Star Wars universe?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, probably Boba Fett. I'm kind of a loner.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of a loner. And the idea of like, because he's good, but bad. And I'm kind of...
He gets his money.
Yeah, he's money. But he's after himself. And he's, you know, he's got the connection with his father. And, you know, kind of... He kind of went this route because of his father and the relationship they had and seeing his head get cut off. I guess it's not his... I mean, is his father? Like, if they're clones? That's a little weird, though, right? His father clone. But anyways, I just really like that idea of being... off alone on your own on an adventure. Like, I go on solo camping trips and I really like my alone time and doing that and kind of being self-sufficient and independent. So that's what I really like about Boba Fett. Like, he didn't answer anyone other than Darth Vader, but you kind of have to answer to Darth Vader. But Boba Fett, that's why I have so many Boba Fett things. So
and, I would say I most relate to Chewbacca, but only because I have a really hairy bush.
Well, that makes sense. And do you sound like Chewbacca in bed?
Yeah. That's the only time, though. Yeah, whenever I orgasm, I sound like I'm gargling.
Now that is cool.
Did y'all ever play that warm up game, you know, the getting to know you game where it's like your favorite color, your favorite ice cream, and your favorite Disney princess?
No.
It was like one of those like whenever you were like in a new group and they'd go around and say like, you know, say your name, favorite something. And Disney princess was always so hard until Disney bought LucasArts and it was like, of course, Princess Leia now.
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, duh. Because I always say Moana, and everybody's like, she's not a princess. It's like, fuck yourself.
I like Princess Leia, too. She's a badass. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of little Princess Leia things hanging around, but I have so many figures. It's
I love all the little shit you keep pulling out.
These are not euphemisms.
Yeah.
Maddie, Mika, is it time for the Mika Minute?
I think it's time for the Mika Minute.
We have a fun little segment called the Mika Minute, and Mika just asks a bunch of fun questions that she comes up with because she's a genius.
Yeah, I like to change it up from talking about all the trans stuff. Yeah, right? I think that gets kind of boring. So let's ask some more fun personal questions. Okay. So I'm going to read all three of these and then take your time answering them any way you want.
Okay.
So question one, what role would you play in a group of survivors during a zombie apocalypse? Number two, what celebrity would you choose to play you in a movie about your life? And three, farts, funny or gross?
Well, the last one's easy. It's funny, and everybody knows that it's funny. And those that don't know it's funny, like, we need to do some self-discovery there. But
I think my rule is farts are funny unless they're silent.
Then they're dead.
Silent farts aren't
funny. All right. Wow. Those are some fun questions. Sorry, I've already forgot the first one. What was it?
First one is, what role would you play in a group of survivors during a zombie
apocalypse?
I mean,
that's easy. I would be the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
the Rick Grimes.
Yeah, right. Yes, of course. I you know, growing up in Idaho, I know how to use a gun. I'm very fluent with firearms, and like, I could definitely take care of myself. And my wife's actually a better shot than I am, but I'm kind of a tough girl, and I like to protect people, especially the people that I love. So I would love to and I'm an Eagle Scout. I know survival and how to do wilderness so I think I'd do pretty good in an apocalypse.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the second one was, who would play me in a movie or in my life?
Yeah, about your life. Yeah.
Wow.
If you don't say Linda Hamilton.
Right. That was awesome. Well, that's interesting because most of my life was spent as a guy, so it would, you know, I've always like thought Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, but would he look good as a woman?
Not as good as you.
I really don't know. I'm gonna have to think about that one.
I've got an answer for that one. For myself.
Yeah, okay. Who? For your life,
Eddie,
right?
Redmayne. Yeah.
Who's that?
You don't know Eddie Redmayne in?
No.
Is he from the Danish Girl movie?
Yes, because he's already done it. Oh. He's good at it.
This is where we're going to pop a picture down of who that is in the podcast. Oh my God.
I haven't seen that.
He's also in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him. He's the main guy.
Okay.
He's Dreamboat.
Yeah.
I worked in the industry, but I stuck with actors' names and stuff. Like, oh, it's that guy or that girl, whatever. But I have a bit of ADHD too. So.
Newt. I just remembered his name.
For me, I think I would like Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter. I think he'd do a good job.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. like you said, it'd be hard to pick somebody who would transition well. Apparently, I used to look like Nick Carter from one of those bands. Backstreet. Apparently, that was like he was apparently my doppelganger. I'm not sure if he'd look good as a girl. I'm not sure if I'd look good as a girl. So, but maybe.
You do. So. I got called Kid Rock a lot because I used to wear like flat round brim hats and I had a bit of a, what do they call that when you party in the back?
Mullet.
Yes. Mullet.
I had a bit of a mullet in my previous life. I got called Kid Rock a lot. I'm like, okay, I can't wear this stuff anymore. I got to cut my hair. That is not the compliment that I want. Well,
Actually, go ahead, Mika.
Yeah, ladies, I wanted to ask this question to all of you last time, but I kept forgetting. When you first started transitioning, was there like a celebrity that you wanted to like kind of base your look on, or kind of your goal was to look like at the end?
You know,
Not
really, because I was convinced I was going to be a really my ex-wife told me I was going to be a really ugly girl, so I was like, as long as I'm not ugly. Then I'll be good. I did do the face app, the face swap, and I was like, I'm gonna target that. Turns out it's nothing like what I look like, but yeah.
I idolized this girl in high school, who I actually told her after I came out that she was like my inspiration of like what I wanted to look like and my style and everything. And she was like, oh my God, that's so amazing. But everybody thought I had a crush on her. I really just wanted to be her. But, you know, it's blue jeans, a white shirt, but like just cool and like a feminine tomboy, you know, like that's my sister too. Like all the women I admire are not very feminine, like girly girlies. They're all like tough girls. And I really like that. So,
yeah.
Nice. How about you, Bree? Anyone?
Yeah, mine has always been and continues to be Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Ooh. Nice.
That's a good one. Yeah. Mika, what was yours?
Mine was actually Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, nice.
I love her look with the bangs and the long brown hair and the kind of like adorkable thing.
So I have to ask, so you said you had the Kid Rock mullet going on. Is that all your natural hair?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just cut it, actually. It used to be down to here.
And when you started transitioning, how long was your hair?
Probably here. I've always had long hair. Like, that was the one thing that I had about me that, like, I felt like I was living on the edge, you know, with long hair.
Yeah.
And my dad used to say, cut that hair, you hippie. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. And so I've always had long hair. I went through my phases where I was trying to boy it up more and I cut it and I'm just like, ooh, I don't like this. So that's been my connection to myself. So yeah, I dyed it blonde, but yeah, otherwise it's my real hair.
I never
had to do the wig, so I bought a wig off Amazon, or no, it was Wish. Do you ever use Wish for any of that crappy shit?
Oh my God.
It was like a $2 wig. It looks so bad.
Like Temu before Temu was Temu.
No, Temu, yes, that's true. Yeah. But oh my God, it was so bad. I wore it once. I'm like, ooh, I cannot let anyone see in this, especially not my wife. And so I threw it away. But
yeah, I found that, like, especially when, because my hair was like, I mean, I got a haircut right before starting hormones because that seemed like a good idea. But so I tried the wigs once it was like a little bit longer. And yeah, like I feel like wigs are really good if you don't have like a lot of extra hair to kind of like cover up. But once you have a substantial amount, it's just kind of like you just get that lump and it's kind of, and some of it starts to show through. Yeah. Like I know a number of girls who don't have, you know, they've kind of have lost most of their hair, but and so the wigs really really work out really well for them. But yeah, there's something about having hair and then trying to put more on it that just didn't work for me.
If I didn't have like hair, I would totally just shave my head and wear a different wig every day. I think that would be fun, honestly. You could get real crazy. That sounds cool. But
yeah, like Moira Rose.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, I love that show. It's so funny.
Such a great show. That was one of the things I was really sad about when I started transitioning, is I couldn't relate to the Ooh David anymore, because I always loved that. Ooh David.
It's like, yeah.
No one says Ooh Danny now, although actually they do, but usually in private.
Oh my God. You are the slutty one.
I'm the thirsty one too. If you haven't watched any of our other episodes,
I always prepared for that. So yeah,
good.
That's good. I'm usually you know, doing all that, so it's good to have some competition.
So what is something that in the next 6 months you're really looking forward to about life in general or about your transition?
Well, I'm going to have FFS, so I'm excited about that. I'm scared about it, but I am excited. I wasn't going to do it, and then I said, you know, what the hell? I only have one life, so why not? I get really scared with surgeries, though, and it's not that I don't want it. It's just that I don't want to die, and I'm always go to the worst-case scenario, and I'm thinking, well, if I go in surgery, I'm going to die. I mean, and that's not true, but that's how my head works. So I talked to my wife, and she's like, you know, you're beautiful, but if this is what you need, then freaking do it. You're going to be fine. You're going to look great. So just go for it. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm going through the whole process for bottom surgery and all that. And that should be sometime next year. And other than that, I'm just writing my book, and I'm excited to break the writer's block.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about the book. You'd mentioned that earlier, and I really wanted to dig into it. What's it about? How did you how is it writing a book?
It's hard. It's very hard. You know, I've written so many comics. I've written probably 12 different movie scripts. But writing a novel is a whole different beast, and I love it because you get into the prose, and I can really expand on all the shit that you can't, like, in a comic book or a script. But I've just found I've had writer's block really bad lately. I don't know if I'm just anxious about the next year, but I go through these spurts where I write a shitload, and then I'm off for 3 months trying to struggle to get past a sentence. So, but the book is about, in short, it's like a post-apocalypse, sci-fi, cyberpunkish coming-of-age story, I guess is the best way that I can explain it. And the main character is a young trans woman who's going through the apocalypse. You know, she's 16 and kind of on her own with her little brother. And it's just their experience of surviving this. And I don't really like the trans part of it is very subtle. Like, you probably wouldn't even know unless you caught the hints that she is trans. But, and so I just wanted to write a story that's fun and it's exciting and also kind of has my own personal touch to it in a way that, like, people that, you know, because the minute someone's, oh, there's a trans person in it, like, they're going to think one thing or the other. And I just wanted to be like, you know, a backhanded slap across the face when they finish it, going, oh, shit, that was she was trans. Oh, my God. And I really liked it. Wow. OK, maybe trans people are just normal. Like, I don't know. I have this belief that the more subtle I can be about all that, the more people are just going to like, oh, I didn't realize that. OK, I guess it's not a big deal. And I don't know if that's true, but that's my approach to life. Is not be in your face about stuff and just like let you come to the realization that, hey, I'm cool. Fuck off, you know, kind of that approach versus like, you know, when I first came out, I was wearing all the colors, transis, everything was all trans all the time. And now it's more like in the background for me. Certainly, like I said, I'm happy and I'm proud of who I am. But I want people to see me as a person first and then go, oh, there's something unique about you. And what is that? And then, you know, if you talk to me, you're going to know, right? Like, I have a deep voice. Like, you can't hide those things. But I don't know. I approach life a little differently.
We have so much in common.
Yeah.
You're going to be the bestest of friends.
Nice. I love it. And you're local. I don't know. You know, that's great.
So how do you start writing a book? Like, did you just sit down one day and you're like open up Word and just start typing? Yeah. Or was it like you came up with, are you working with somebody? Or
no, sort of like I don't co-write. I tried that back in the day, but I'm not good at it. I'm so independent and I just need to do it my own. But this one, actually, there was a Modest Mouse song. I forgot the actual name of it, but it's, a wild pack of family dogs came running through the yard one day. Do you guys know that song at all? No, okay. Anyways, I love that song. And that whole sentence spawned this idea about a story of a girl running from a wild pack of family dogs that had turned into mutants. And it's kind of like, oh, that's fun. So I wrote the first sentence, which turned into the first page, which turned into the first chapter. And I'm like, holy shit, that just kind of exploded out of me. I guess I have to write this. That's usually how it works for me. If I plan too much, I'm never going to do it. If I just sit and write, I just let things come naturally. So, but I'm really stoked with it. I really love it. I read it to my family, and you know, they're like, "Oh my god, this is really good." I'm like, "Really? It really is? You really think so?" So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll finish it one day.
Wow. Yeah, I like my mom she's working on her second book, and I have no idea how any of that stuff works. It seems like you just have to have like time created for you somehow. Yeah. Like, where do you ever find time for that? You just like do it when you're like at home waiting on something.
Yeah. I write on my phone. So like usually if I try to not get on Instagram and instead I write in my notepad and just try to change my habits a little bit. But honestly, when you hit that bug, like you make the time, Like when you get the writer's bug, like everything that you're always thinking about is all about that book. And you almost can't help yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, I have to sit down and write. Like I need to sit down and write because I need it. You know, I have to do it right now. The last stuff that I've written, like I worked in IT for a little bit. So I had this idea about IT people. I hated, I did user support and I hated the stupid users, like answering the phone. Yeah. Friggin' turn on your computer and turn it off again or whatever. Like it was bad. So I'm like these stupid users. I'm like, I wish that, you know, they just could all be zombies so I could like, you know, take them out, you know, and like, hey, that's a story. Let's write that story. And so I wrote Stupid Users, which is about an IT team that is saving the human race from this virus that's turning people into these energy zombies from a spam email. And
wait, is that a book or is that a?
Here's another little show and tell. It's actually a board game, a card game that I wrote a graphic novel to too. So we did it on Kickstarter. And so I have a graphic novel and board game for that. But that's what I've been working on mostly for the past 3 years. We released it right when COVID came out, and then, you know, the industry kind of died. And so we've just been like going to conventions and selling it, but that's kind of the project that I've been, you know, pushing around lately. So
holy crap, you are the most
I love board games. I'm so obsessed with board games. So I'm like, I want to do one now. And so I did it.
Wow.
But that book is great because it's all my own personal therapy rolled into a comic. And so that, like, I wrote that in no time at all.
I mean, I totally get with the, like, the whole writer's thing. Like, when I get a, like, a site idea or, like, an app idea, it's like there's nothing that's really going to stop me before busting out. Like, it's why I carry my laptop with me, like, essentially everywhere. Yeah. It's because you never know when it's going to hit you, and you have to be able to, like, at least map something down. But yeah, absolutely get that.
I am unfortunately
like, really good for like, go ahead, Mika.
I was gonna say, I'm unfortunately the complete opposite. I have so many projects and ideas up in here, but I never have the time or energy to get them out. I wish I did.
It's hard.
I never really did until until I got this forced freedom of divorce. I don't know. I use it as like as an escape, like a creative escape. Like I was talking to some people recently and they're like, when do you ever have time for that? And it's like, well, one of the guys that I was talking to like painted and I was like, when do you have time to paint? And he goes, oh, I use it as a relaxation. It's like, well, that's what this is for me. It's just creative time. Right. It's, you know, nobody, I'm not doing it for a job.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this podcast is. It's kind of like, this is just our creative time. So,
oh, we're not getting paid for this?
Oh shit.
Oh, wait. No, invoices you've been sending or
wasn't this a paid gig?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, well, this union, everything. So I need to be
paid. Yeah, checks in the mail, honey.
Oh, thank you.
I'm still waiting on mine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been the podcast has definitely been fun because we get to interview really cool people like you. Have you done any other like interviews or any things since you started coming out?
Yeah, I did the Transverse Network a year and a half ago. That's back Emily. When I thought I was. Yeah, Emily. Yeah, yeah. That's back when I thought I was actually non-binary. Like, I went through a phase where I thought I was non-binary. I realized, I don't know. But I'm just trying to understand, like, because everyone that I know doesn't have the relationship that I have with my old self. And I even have a tattoo that I did when I was on mushrooms that's all about, like, bringing your old self with the new self and, like, holding hands versus pushing away. And I'm like, well, I need my that Matt energy with the Maddie energy in order to be whole. I'm like, does that make me non-binary? Like, and I went through a phase where I was really trying to understand it. And so that was a much different interview than this one is. So,
yeah.
That
actually is kind of something that I'd love to get your thoughts on. Because I know with me, like a lot of people get frustrated with me because I do imbibe a lot of my old personality, obviously, because it's hard to get rid of. And there are things that I really enjoyed about myself, which I don't know if they were me attributes or they were, you know, the guy attributes, or they were just sort of me personally. But like, But yeah, like, how did you decide that, like, you weren't non-binary, you were actually a trans woman? I guess I'm not really, I don't really understand how, like, what the flip, the switch would be between deciding that this is
I'm being honest, either. And this is going to sound crazy, but it was my mushroom tip. I did a mushroom trip to have a spiritual experience, to answer the question of, because I stopped doing estrogen too, and I started feeling very angry. I had a lot of anxiety about it. Like, oh shit, am I going to go back? You know, like, are things going to revert? And I don't like that. And I'm like, well, wait, if you're non-binary, why does it matter? Because you're cool with both, right? And I even started dressing up both ways. I went to some men's bathrooms as a dude. I'm like, let's see how this feels. I'm like, that doesn't feel too bad. Like, I don't care. And I was just trying to, like, prove it to myself. But so I'm like, I really need to have, like, I don't know if you've done shrooms, but every time I've done shrooms in my life, it was to explore some sort of spiritual existential question that I'm dealing with. And that was it. And I had this amazing mushroom trip that was like watching a movie of my life with my old self and my new self and the third me, my old self and the self that if I was born a cis female, and then me, all three of them were in there. And they were working on this body, and at the end, long story short, I won't get into a very trippy story, but they were making a body, and at the end, it all melted away, and it was me. And it was the realization that, not that I'm not a trans woman, it's just that I need both of those energies in order to become the person that I want to be, which is a trans woman. It doesn't make me non-binary, the fact that I love my old self. Like, come on. It's... You know, it's not that I didn't feel like a woman. I didn't really feel like a man either, but I felt certainly more like a woman. And I did want all the surgeries. I did want to experience this life in the way that I wanted to experience. And I didn't want to regret any of that. And I'm like, okay, what's going on is you're scared of the surgeries. You're scared of all that stuff. And that's no reason. You can't live your life in fear anymore. You have to just move forward. Cause I've always limited myself from fear of what's going to happen. Or like I said, I always think I'm just going to die or something like that. Something like on the drastic level that never is going to happen probably, but I'm convinced that it will. And so once I got through that whole crazy trip and came out the other side the next day, I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I'm not non-binary. And I started estrogen again. And I'm like, OK, I'm going to do this now. For real, I'm going to do this now. And that's really what it was. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Wow, drugs sound amazing.
And, you know, I like lifting weights and being buff. And I just thought, well, does that make me not as womanly? I'm like, fuck that. It does. Like, come on. Don't be stupid.
That's what seems like it seems like there's a lot of people out there who are like almost the gatekeepers of what it means to be trans. And I know like especially, and I know I talk about them a bunch and they're probably going to get mad at me, but the people I work with are very much like, they hate the fact that I'm doing surgeries. They're like, oh, to be a trans woman, you're like, it's almost like that. Like you shouldn't do that because of it makes you like, you know, some sort of like, some big surgeries puppet or something like that. I really enjoy the fact that like you figure it out for yourself. Like, what does it mean? And that you can appreciate your last self without having to be this like sort of androgynous, like you can be yourself while still appreciating your
form. Yeah, and like a lot of it was everyone, all my friends, they hated their past selves. They can't even talk about it. They can't even discuss it. And I'm like, well, I don't feel that way. So maybe I'm not like you guys and maybe I'm different. But I think it's just we all have shit to get through. You got to do the work to get through it. Some of us do, some of us don't. And I think it's actually very healthy to maybe not like talk about it all the time, but at least forgive that person. You know, because a lot of us have so much anger and like resentment towards that person. And I get it. But like, you got to get over that and like accept that you did your best and they got you here. So you can't be angry about that person anymore. You have to love that person in order to find the real love inside yourself, as hippie as that sounds. That's what I believe. Once I did that and came to those terms, I'm like, oh, shit, this is easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, David, I did soak up, as I will attest, basically in every episode, I guess now, is I soaked the crap out of that white male privilege. Like I drank that shit up, yeah. And it got me to where I am. And so, of course, like I will always say, it's like, you know, Bree said it really well in one of the last episodes. Is like, you know, I don't want to take your words for you, but basically, it's like, yeah, he was in charge for a long time, and as Bree said, it's my turn to drive, yeah, and exactly. That was a beautiful, beautiful sentiment.
Yeah.
From Lady Bree.
Your turn's over. Yep, that's kind of how I feel. I'm taking over now. You had your moment. And...
Yeah. So, in California, I know over on the East Coast, it's very conservative. Is it really as free as I was over there? You know, 2 weeks ago, and it seemed like there was a lot of acceptance over there. Are you finding that, like, especially people of our, you know, the, like, it's late 30s, late 40s, do you find a lot of pushback?
I honestly have never been harassed, never had anything said to me, especially really? Claremont, which is weird. It's a little older, but it's super liberal, and, you know, they have pride flags hanging everywhere, and but I've never had one problem ever. I've had people look at me, but who knows what they're thinking, but they've never said anything to me. Yeah. And yeah, I haven't experienced a lot of the issues that I know a lot of my friends have had. And you know, they live in like LA, West Hollywood. And so it's like, oh, that's crazy. But yeah, I think California is actually really accepting, and I don't think I'm ever going to leave California. As much as
well, then I guess that's where I'll go.
And there's a lot of us here, so there's a nice community here. But
yeah,
and if shit goes down with the election, I think the last place that anything's going to change is California.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like it's been high on my list of places to go to get out of off the East Coast.
Yeah.
It just seems like everywhere is kind of buckling down for the next wave of what's going to happen to us.
But if I'm being honest, when I went to Idaho, I didn't feel any, like, I certainly got looks, but no one talked to me. No one said shit to me. And I was so scared going up there that, oh, they're all going to like say shit to me. But and I'm like, just deal with it. And I think it's just like, if you have the confidence and you just do it, and you know, just like when you're going to some place you shouldn't be, if you act like you're supposed to be there, they're gonna ignore you. That same type of thing. Like if I'm not acting awkward and whatnot, like nobody's gonna do anything. And
yeah, it's the whole like not rubbing it in people's faces kind of thing. I feel like there's a lot of like I know a lot of people who are the militant kind of like, you have to accept me. Like everyone around me has to, like, if you don't accept me, you're a jerk. And it's like, I don't know. I guess I've gotten to the point where it's like, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff kind of thing. I know I've been around people and like they clearly do not appreciate what I'm doing or you know, endorse it at any point. But I'm not like, they're not going to go out of their way to be mean because they have 10 other things that are on their mind besides you know, picking on a trans person that's going
to
beat them up.
And most people do. And most people have things to do other than talk about this. And if this is what they're talking about, they have issues.
Yeah.
They don't have much of a life and they need to get one. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I find that like a lot of, like no one really wants to go out and pick a fight. I don't think from, especially if they don't have to, like, you know, the majority of people that I've seen don't want to go out and like start a fight. I feel like if you get run across one of those people, it's just sort of luck of the draw.
I'd like to see him try to come on.
Yeah.
I like to flex a lot. You know, I spend most of my like afternoons flexing in the mirror and my wife comes in and goes, oh really? My God, what are you doing again?
Can we, we may need to do that during after hours.
I'm pretty bad.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Speaking of which, I guess we could it is getting close up there. Do y'all want to go and do final thoughts and then jump into that?
final thoughts.
Yeah. Is that? Yeah. I guess, Mika, do you want to go ahead and kick us off?
Final thoughts. Let's see.
Unless you guys have any more questions too, by the way. Sorry.
Shoot away if you have anything else.
I'm all out of questions.
Yeah.
Final thoughts. I'll just say, I never know how to handle this, but I will say, Maddie, I love your outlook on life. I love how you're not like trans up in front. You're kind of like, I'm a person first. Trans is just a part of me. That's exactly how I live my life, and I love it. And I kind of wish more trans people would be like that, if I was honest.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah. Me? 4.5.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I jumped the gun there. What was your question?
Was that moving it to the background? Like, did you start that way? Or did it, like, when did that happen for you? Because it's like happened for me in the past year. And I was like, oh, well, I'm doing this less. But have you always been that way? Or was that a process for you as well?
Kind of when I first jumped on Instagram, I was kind of trying to reach out to other trans parents. And then my Instagram kind of evolved into my whole trans journey and stuff. But then the more people I followed on Instagram, the more trans stuff I saw constantly. Right. And they're always talking about being trans. And people I see on TikTok, trans people only talk about or post about being trans. Yeah. And honestly, I thought it was just kind of boring.
Okay. Yeah.
So I transitioned my Instagram to more of like a entertainment comedy.
Right. Which is funny, by the way. I love it.
And I like to poke fun of being trans because, I like to make fun of myself. So, it's just, I like to say all the time that I'm so much more than just my gender.
Yeah.
Being trans is just a part of who I am.
Totally. I find that like when we first start, the excitement of all that is just really overwhelming. And let's talk about trans stuff all the time. And then after a while, it's you're right. It just kind of gets boring. Like, I liked all this other stuff before. Like, can we talk about that stuff now? Yeah, I'm trans. Okay, let's move on. I just wondered, that's kind of been my experience too. I did that same thing and I'm just like, oh, I'm over talking about trans all the time. Let's talk about just me being a person. So, I totally get it.
That's actually why I follow so few people on Instagram, because I do have a lot of trans friends, but that's kind of all they talk about. So I purposely limit my following to just under 30 people.
Like, I'm happy to talk about it, and just not all the time.
Yeah. That's awesome. Brie?
Yeah. I guess it's not so much a final thought, but more of a final let me tell you why I started following you in the first place. There was a video that you put out in June where you were playing the guitar for your kiddo, and it was really like ripped a hole open in my heart. I was like, that is amazing. God. And I was just like, I just watched it. Boom, follow, done. I was kind of like, I got on Instagram in February, and I was just kind of like lost. And I just kept slowly trying to find some like role models or what the fuck I was supposed to do in the first place. And me having that 2-year-old, it's like, what the hell do I do? And I saw you with your kiddo, and I was like, that's pretty fucking cool right there.
Aww. So that was it. The one where I was making
that
fun
is
of
how
him?
I found it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas like singing
the shit out of it. Yeah.
I mean, that's our job as dads, right? I mean, come on. The dad jokes don't stop because we transitioned, you know. We're
still... They get better. Yeah. More people watch them. That was one thing that I used to use as like a practicing my voice, is I'd tell dad jokes as reels in my new voice.
Oh my God.
Didn't ever work out very well.
Well, thank you for telling me that. Obviously all of us, being a dad is such a big part of our lives, and I think it should be celebrated. And girl dad girls are awesome, and we have a unique experience, and being a parent is one of the greatest things I've ever done, and I embrace that so much more now than I did before. And
I love you. You're so cool.
Yeah. I think your story is just amazing. It seems like you are one of those people who put your mind to something and you get it done, which is just so refreshing from so many other things that I've seen in the past of people just making promises and not really following through with them. And it seemed like you were really successful with all the stuff that you do too, which is like amazing when you put your heart into something and get good results out of it. But yeah, it's been like amazing. It's like everything that's cool. It's like, oh yeah, Maddie's like, oh, play guitar. Oh, okay, yeah.
Not well, but I don't care.
That's awesome. No, but yeah, it's been great. Like just getting to hear all the ways that, yeah, like Mika's saying that like you're more the dimensionality is more than just two dimensional with trans and you have more facets than that, which is awesome to learn about. And I think it's really important for people the people who watch this stuff to learn that like it's okay to not just focus on being trans and you can
celebrate it. Give it the space, do your teenager years, but then grow beyond it because there's so much more life there.
Yeah. Keep being you. Don't get, you know, like I know a lot of people give up, like I had somebody tell me they're like, oh, you're gonna give up sports now, right? And I'm like, I mean, not because of that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get in fights anymore.
Sports girls are hot too. Like hick girls, country girls, sports girls, theater girls, all that shit.
Yeah.
They're all
give me some robots and I'm all girls, good.
Yes.
Yeah. But well, very cool. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a lot of fun. Yeah. You guys are awesome. I really had a good time. I honestly didn't know what to expect, and this was really cool.
We try to keep it light.
I love
it. Well, awesome. Mika, do you want to do the outro now?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Bree's audio may be lagging up a little bit, but okay. Yeah. So, anyways, Maddie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. And and for those who are watching, if you are not a Patreon subscriber, this is where we're going to leave you. But if you are a Patreon subscriber, please stay tuned for the After Hours, which is coming up. And for Girl Dad Girls, I am that QT Danny B. We have Michaela Ville and Bree St. Marie. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Adios.
This has been a production of Girl Dad Girls Podcast. Check out new episodes every Thursday. If you are interested in knowing more, please email info@girldadgirls.com or find us on Instagram @girldadgirls. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.